Banties, what a great day to be here with you all. We're so excited. I am one of your hosts, Sam Fisher, joined by the one and only, the Eagle.
Ooh,
For
go eagle. Is that my eagle voice? I don't know. That's my eagle voice.
those of
Hello.
you, for those of you who have never heard an eagle make a noise, that wasn't it.
We're delirious today, folks. We're delirious
A
today.
little bit. Ooh.
Ooh, Eagles. Ooh. Happy to
My
be here.
gosh.
Happy to be here. Go
Yeah.
USA. Roll Tide.
All of
And
it.
go softball. Very,
We
very
took a
big
trip
weekend.
this weekend. We took a trip to Upset City.
We did.
Population, apparently everyone.
Everyone.
So I would love to just like run down a real quick list of from the top
Please.
25. And then let's dive in.
Yeah, let's do it. Go ahead.
Okay, so the obvious one, BYU beat Oklahoma 9-4. Duke swept Clemson. This is just in my notes. This is not an upset, but I was just like proud of them.
Yeah, very big.
Mississippi State run ruled Tennessee,
Run
nine
ruled.
run ruled. Oklahoma State dropped 2 to Iowa State. LSU lost the series to Auburn. Georgia lost the series against Kentucky. USF beat Florida, and then Florida dropped the series to Mizzou. So, yeah. Oh, Duke. I knew I wrote Duke down there for more than the sweep. They lost to Campbell.
They lost to Campbell when a lot of people were arguing that Duke should have been the number one team in the country.
Right. They
And
went
they
and they
were number
said,
one in
hey.
some polls, I think.
They were. Yes, they were.
And very quickly that died off. I'm okay with Texas being number one now. I am.
Yeah, Texas is at number one.
I'll take a stand on that because like
Love.
I clearly think that they are the best team. And I think their
Yeah.
record and strength of record says that.
Yes.
But seven of the top, wasn't it like seven of the top 10 teams that
Yes,
lost?
we're upset. Yeah.
I'm sorry.
Has that ever
Like,
happened before?
what?
Right?
I don't, I, the BYU one has to be like the most shocking one.
Yeah.
There, I mean, just an absolute Stormin and Norman was
They were
Brigham Young.
storming in Norman.
And it was 9-4. It's not one of those like, when Louisiana upset Oklahoma and Norman, it was a very close game. It
Correct.
was back and forth.
Yep.
Louisiana had some plays fall their way and they won the
Yep.
game.
Yep.
This was completely different. Like BYU was
They
firmly in
beat.
control of the game. They just flat out beat
Yeah.
Oklahoma.
Yeah.
Flat out beat
Yes.
Oklahoma.
We were saying earlier, like a 9-4 loss in the, in this world of the Sooners is like 30-0.
Yes.
And I know, like I know that there's the Sooner ride or die fans. Like, I love how much you support Oklahoma. Like, I hate talking about Oklahoma losing, but here's something that I would love to know your thoughts, Halo. You have to learn as a ball player and as a person, you have to learn how to lose.
Correct.
And I think that losing is important. And
Correct.
it sucks. I don't want to lose. I hate losing. We all like
Right.
hate. But knowing how to lose, I think, is such an important lesson as a ball player, especially at the top program in the country. Those kids have not lost but a handful of times. So them learning how to lose, it might be end up being scary for their competition going forward.
I agree with you, and I'm very interested to see how this goes because it could go one of two ways. Because think about this senior class, like
Yeah.
they've won three national championships.
Yeah.
Like they don't know what
That's all
it's
they know.
like to not
Yeah.
win a national championship.
Yeah.
So do you press the panic button because you've lost three of your last six?
Yeah.
When you lost one game the entirety of last season, and I don't have the stats in front of me, but like you said, it's a
They just
handful
don't
of games.
lose.
Can you
Yeah.
imagine finishing your entire career and be like, yeah, I only lost a handful of games?
Yeah. Like I can count
What?
it on two hands
What?
how
But
many games I've lost.
to your point, experiencing failure is a necessary part of reaching your full potential, I think.
100%.
Because if
100%.
you never lose, if you never go through a slump, if you never like if you're never put in to the fire of having to figure it out,
You're figure it
gonna,
out.
it's only natural as a human being to get comfortable. And I'm not saying that Oklahoma is comfortable by any stretch of the means. I think that it's a new team. I think like that we've set the bar so high for them that like, oh my God, they've lost three of their last six. Like, let's press panic. And if you're a fan that's doing that, I just want you to remember how spoiled you are.
So true.
Like, put it in person. Like, they're college kids. They're like, to your point, they're gonna lose. Like, I do think that it's going to be scary for them moving forward. I think they're gonna come out of this better, which is terrifying. And can you imagine if they get a rematch against Texas in Oklahoma City at the World Series? I just want to put that out there.
That will be some good softball.
Because I could definitely see it happening. I could see it happening in the
Absolutely.
championship series. I can see it happening earlier than that, potentially. It
Totally.
could get buck wild here in late May,
It
early
could.
June.
Yes, I agree. I think you're right. Like there's a lot of ways to go about it, and losing with grace, lo losing with an attitude of we're gonna be better, lighting a fire, you know, that kind of stuff. Like at the end of the day, they've lost three games this season. That's basically losing zero. So,
Zero. Yeah. It's any other team would be over the moon like that.
So I think that's why I wanted to make sure that we talked about that a little bit because, like you said, we have set the bar so high for Oklahoma. Everybody has.
Yeah.
And losing is like, oh my gosh, they're a softball team. They're,
Right.
you know, like at the end of the day, there's another softball team at a big program.
Right.
So
100%.
learning how to lose and sending those seniors off into the world, having had to learn a little bit how to lose, like it's good. Not to say that life is a loser, but like there's a lot of losing.
There's a lot of losing involved in the old real world
Oh yeah,
out here.
losing,
So.
rejection, you know, things that you think you've earned or deserve that you don't get, bada bing,
Yeah.
bada boom.
Bottom in,
But
goes home.
I do want to point out that the Duke sweep of Clemson, I think, was them saying, okay, you guys, we just dropped one to Campbell. Let's make a statement. People were saying we don't deserve to be number one. Let's sweep Clemson. I wasn't expecting a sweep.
I
Either
wasn't
way.
either. I
Either way,
wasn't either.
that series.
No, I the ACC has been like very interesting this year. You've seen Florida State have a down year. Clemson, I would argue, has also had a down year. I don't think they've kind of lived up to their expectations as well. And them being having so many veterans that are back, it's just kind of been surprising for me to watch and follow Clemson. Georgia Tech has looked great. They're mashing the ball. And Duke is the favorite to win the ACC. But they've never played in a huge series before. Do you know what I mean? Like, they've never been the front runner. They've always been the underdog. And so I think like that first game out of the gate against Campbell, where like you're number one in some polls, people are talking about you. We talked about it. It's like, are they gonna like fold under the pressure a little bit? And we were talking about Clemson, like no disrespect to Campbell, but we
Of
were talking
course.
about the Clemson series.
Right.
And then for them to go out and drop that game to Campbell, I think was like a wake up call. Like,
Yeah.
no, like, okay, the pressure's off. We lost. Like, it was like Oklahoma losing after they won, like, I was it like 70
71.
something games. You drop the game, and now the pressure's off, and you can finally be free and, you know, head into the weekend and dominate. And that's what Duke did. Their pitchers are so good. They're
And they're
so
deep. They've
good.
got a good, they've got a well-rounded team, I think. That's, I mean, no wonder they're doing what they're doing and why they were getting the votes, why they were getting the number one nod, you know? So, and hats off to Campbell. I mean, they beat them.
They
Nobody
did.
handed them anything. They beat them. So we
We
love to
love a
see
good
it.
midweek upset. We
We
really
do.
do. It's such a
We
trap game
do.
for these Power Five teams because you know, like right now, the focus is on conference play, making sure your seeding is good enough so you can go into your conference tournament, make a run, get a good seed in the NCAA tournament. Set yourself up for a run at regional supers and then hopefully make it to Oklahoma City. That's where the focus is for a lot of these teams. And but for a lot of these mid-majors, it's like, no, like our entire season could be on the line. And these midweek games that we could potentially win give us the confidence going into our conference tournaments to hopefully make a run. Or in the cases of some, you know, somebody like a Charlotte or, you know, like a Miami of Ohio, like like, no, we deserve, maybe we deserve to host a regional. Like, those
Right.
midweek games are so important for those teams. And
Yeah.
it's, it was, shout out to Campbell. Like,
Yeah, big shout
awesome.
out. I know the feeling of being looked past. Like when we
Yeah.
played UCLA at a midweek, I'm like, they don't care about us. They care about Arizona coming over to their house next weekend. They're
Right.
just thinking that, okay, we're just getting some practice in. Did we ever upset them? No, but they looked past us, and I remember
Right.
the feeling.
It's like, but that motivates you, right? Like,
Yes.
it makes you want that game that much
Yeah,
more.
absolutely. Well, gosh, man, I know we could go on and on, but let's make sure that we mention a big thank you to USASoftballStore.com for dressing us so nicely. I'm so
Shout out.
cozy. I know that it's getting hot now. Like in Arizona, we're having our first week of the 90s, but inside, I just want to be cozy in my USA Softball sweatshirt. And you know, if you want this one, you can use code BHB15 and get 15% off your entire purchase. So, I highly suggest it. And yeah, you won't regret it. Thank
A
you.
bada boom,
USA Softball
a
Store.
bada bang.
Bada bing, a bada boom. So now that we're comfy and cozy, you want to talk a little bit Banty balance?
Yes, I would like to talk about some Banty balance. I'm really excited that we get to dive into this topic today, which
Yes.
is talking about the
Yes.
parents. So
Yeah.
parental support and really just the importance of positive reinforcement, particularly in the car ride home.
Yep.
We've all been in situations where we didn't have a good day at the ballpark. And in some cases, the car ride home can be a blessing after we have a not so good day at the ballpark. But that's what it should be. In other cases, it can become an analytical storm of
Yeah.
information and feeling like a failure. So, Sam, I would love to just hear your thoughts on this topic and maybe how your parents impacted you after either a good
Yes.
or a bad day.
I would love to talk about old Rick and Deb.
Ooh.
Was most of the time, like for tournaments, it was usually me and my dad, but my mom would be, she came to all my high school games. She came to as many travel games and things like that as she could. But she'd be hanging out with, you know, my brother at home when we were like in the middle of nowhere playing softball. And my mom was very much the balance of like, I don't care if you were 0 for 3 or 3 for 3, you have laundry on the floor. You need to clean it up. It doesn't matter that you were the MVP of the game or the MVP for the other team. You gotta get that together, you know? So, and she always made sure I knew that my ponytail looked good. She was like, Sam, your hair,
Awesome.
your game day hair, perfect. So she was very much the balance of like, truly doesn't matter. Like, you are still my kid. I love you. And I'm so excited. She, all of, anytime I hit a home run, she always says, was that for mommy? I say, yeah. So
I love them.
that balance, right? But the car rides home with my dad, who, bless Deb, knows the sport, but Rick knows the sport. And it was a classroom, I think, in the car where after the game, good or bad, it was okay. Yeah, let's talk about it. We talked. We did not avoid the conversations, but the approach, I think Rick did such a great job of approaching the conversations in the way that was best for me. And that's the thing I think parents need to know is like, you know your kid, ideally. Know what they need, pick up what they're putting down. And I remember one time telling my dad, I think I've said this before on this podcast, I don't want to talk about it. I had a really bad day. I don't want to talk about it. And he said, all right, fine. We won't talk about the good days either. Like, dang, Rick.
Oh,
Rick, that's a good point.
Rick.
I said, yeah, because you cannot have the good games without having the bad games. And that was what I learned on the car ride home with my dad of, hey, okay, so yeah, you struck out. What do we think? Why do we think she bested you? Oh, you know what? I think I swung at a ball. And turning it from a God, I suck to, oh, I see how I can improve. And
Yes.
I never ever, this is what I know that players struggle with. I never dreaded getting in the car after a bad game. That is
Yeah.
something that came from my dad and my mom when they were both there. I never was afraid to get in the car.
Yeah,
I,
me
ever.
either. Yeah.
Yeah. And so I want to hear more about your, you know, you were over on the other end of the country on the car ride home. So tell me more.
Yeah, well, I mean, I think it's cool because you were saying you were like started that processing with your dad. And so knowing what you do at Athletes Unlimited now, like when we're playing, like you're doing that on your own. And that started from conversations, healthy conversations that you had about processing games with your dad. And I think that that is amazing. I'm kind of in a similar boat to where my mom didn't play any sports growing up. And she was, she'll admit this too, she was like too shy to do it. Like just
She's
very
so
just
cute.
conserved. I know. Mom, I love you and I know you're listening and watching. But she always made sure that because that was her experience, she wanted something different for us. So she pushed us to, you know, go do sports and go do this and go do that. And I remember like I never remember my mom really referencing anything in the game. It was always how I reacted and responded to however I did that day. So I had a great game. Okay, my mom would say good job, but it's like who what kind of a teammate were you? What kind of attitude did you have? What kind like that was where the emphasis was from my mom up until I mean, I remember watching a World Series game with my mom on the couch. This was I think I had either just committed to Alabama or was like just starting my recruiting process. And we were watching a game and the camera followed a girl after she got out into the dugout, and you could tell she said some things she wouldn't wasn't supposed to say, and she threw her helmet down. And I was always that kid that had very strong feelings when things did not go my way, and my mom had to really talk that out of me. But I remember so clearly watching that game with her and saying that camera follows you, and there are people, what you're doing right now, people are going to do to you. They're going to follow you. They're going to watch you. They're going to see how you react. So, what kind of example are you setting? Who are you going to be? What
Wow.
kind of teammate are you going to be? What are people going to associate with you as a human being? Outside of softball, the result does not matter. The result's not what's going to carry you. It's who are you? Like
Wow.
it was human first. And I'm super thankful for that because that's what has gotten, I think that's what's gotten me to the point I am in my career. Like, yes, I'm a great softball player. Don't get me wrong. Like, from a physical standpoint, I'm great. But what sustained me is being, trying to be the best human I can possibly be. And my mom's a really big part of that. My dad, on the other hand, played college baseball. So he coached baseball when I was growing up. And so he was always the more of the, well, kind of like your dad, like, what'd you see? How can you get better? And one thing I really appreciated about my dad was that he let me lead the conversations.
Love.
He never told me, like, hey, I saw this, you need to do this. Hey, like, move your hands here, do this, whatever. He was, what are you feeling? Okay, I see what you're seeing. Have you thought about this? Or like, he would let me tell him what I felt, and then that's the direction that the conversation went. Which is, as a young girl, how empowering is that?
Huge.
Because think about how many times we were told what to do when we were younger, whether that was, you know, by other coaches that we had or different, like we get told what to do all the time.
Constant.
And it's hard. Like having your feelings validated like that is so rare. I didn't know that when I was growing up, but I can look back on it now and be like, wow, my parents really empowered me to push
Hugely.
past all of that stuff that was the on the field stuff's going to take care of itself. But like, who are you becoming? Are you being a good human? Like, are you learning to process things on your own? Like, am I empowering you to be able to do this without me at some point? And it's even still, my mom, like, you know, like my parents will come to championship weekend at Athletes Unlimited, and no matter, I'm 0 for 4, 5 for 5. I'm number one on the leaderboard. I'm dead last. And my sweet little mom has her hat on and she's just clapping for me and she's so happy.
Yes, that's so
It's, you know,
cute.
my dad's the same way. Always, I'm proud of you. I love you. Here for you.
It's so
I love you
sweet.
regardless of how you play.
Yes, and I think what you said was really, I think, hitting in the right spots of we're always being told what to do growing up, right? And a lot of times we're being told, these athletes are being told what to do from some, from a place of I know better than you do. And that
Yes.
is not empowering. It's I remember my dad, okay, hey, you're playing shortstop. You have runner, I'm 8 years old, you know, runners on first and second, and you get a ground ball. There's one out. Where are you going to throw the ball? And like you said, letting me guide the conversation of, okay, let me think through this. Let me figure this out instead of I'm telling you what to do because I know better. In
Yes.
life, when you're eight, your parents do know better. They know how to, you know,
Yes, clearly.
but in the sport that you're playing and they're spectating, letting you lead that, letting you show the thought process and the analyzing and the, you know, recovery from losses, recovery from wins.
Yeah.
I think that that's huge. And I th think about it now, like after a ball game, I call my dad. I say, hey, did you see that at bat? What do you think? You
Yeah.
know, and we could talk about it. And I still, my dad will say this all the time. He's like, you can play softball better than I ever could. Here's what I think that you were
Love
doing. You
Rick.
know, here's what, maybe if you just try to hit that ball up the middle a little bit more, I'd be like, yeah, you know what? That's exactly what I was feeling. And hearing it
Yeah.
from you and brings you back to the car, which I
Yeah,
love,
no,
which
for
is a
sure.
sacred place. It's a sacred
For
place.
sure. For sure. And I think you're hitting on a good point there too, is like what your dad has done for you is it's empowered you to be independent, to where like you don't need his advice necessarily anymore, but you want it.
Yes, totally.
And that's such an important distinction to make, because if you're a parent out there and you want your kid to go play college ball, or you just want them to be successful in life in general, like you're at some point the kid is going to have to flourish on their own. At some point they're going to flee the nest. At some point they're going to have to, like, so if you can do that in a mini version in a controlled environment when they're younger, it's going to set them up for success later in life to be able to process things on their own, and instead of needing you to be able to breathe and function and get through something, they're going to want to hear from you. I think that's really, really important.
That's so nice. I go through that thought process every time somebody on the internet comments on my swing giving me feedback where I'm like, nobody asked.
Nobody asked for your
We didn't
advice, bro.
ask and we didn't want. But thank you for letting me know that my
Didn't
I have no
want.
bat speed. Thank
Yeah, thank you
you.
so much for offering your JV baseball
Yeah, I appreciate the 2 cents,
opinion.
but my piggy bank is full. Thank you.
Yeah, like, come on. Don't be that
Seems
guy.
like, don't be that guy. Don't be the
Don't be
guy,
that
but
parent to your daughter
no.
either. Don't analyze every single swing she's ever going to take.
Yeah.
Don't analyze every throw. Don't be a parent that changes stats and game changer. We know who you are.
Yeah, it happens. Yeah.
Like, just
Let her play.
let her play. And
Play.
it's okay to not say anything, and it's
Yeah.
okay to ask really empowering questions to your child.
Yes. This is such an important topic. I feel like this is something we could just continue.
I think we at some point we might devote an entire episode to
Because
parenting little ballers.
you really think about it, you're with your coach at practice and in games, but who are you with the rest of your time? It's your parents.
Exactly.
It's your
Yeah. And
family.
what kind of input is going in that brain of, yeah, it's a very important conversation.
Bless. Well, I feel like I can talk about the HPP news of the week because we got some other USA national news that I think maybe you'd be fit to discuss if you'd like. But
Yeehaw, yeah, we could do
okay.
that.
So this weekend, yours truly was in Rockland, California for an HPP event. We had about 100 athletes there. It did rain, it did pour, but we were able to pivot and work it out inside. So
We love
great event.
adaptability.
Yeah, man, everybody was great. The event ran really smoothly. The kids had a good time. And those athletes will be getting their evaluations and invites within the next week. The ones coming up, we have Dallas this Sunday, 120 kids currently. They're
Wow.
still taking walk-up registrations. And that wraps up April for identifiers. May, we're looking at another busy month. We've got Maple Grove, Minnesota, May 5th, Cinco de
Cinco de
Mayo.
Mayo.
There it is. Honolulu, Hawaii, May 11th, and Houston, Texas on May 19th. You can visit hpp.usasoftball.com for more information or a list of other identifiers. But we're gearing up towards that final. I can't believe it's April already. We're talking about May identifiers. What?
Yeah,
So
where has the time gone? Like,
I am.
we're gonna be like in postseason softball before we know it,
It's wild. And we're
which
going to
is
be at.
absolutely insane.
Yeah, we're going to be at our final HPP event in at the end of the year, like tomorrow. So Halo, I would love for you to kick off the national team news.
Yeah, it was a pretty awesome week this week for Team USA. So USA Softball announced their women's team's rosters last Friday,
That they did.
and they've put together two rosters. One roster is going to represent the United States at the World Cup, as well as an elite team that will travel to Japan for the Japan All-Star Series. That World Cup is in Italy this
Ooh.
summer, which is awesome. And I'm just going to give a shout out to the entire Women's World Cup roster here, and I'm just going to name it off one
Please.
through 16. So here we
Yep.
go. At number one, we've got Allie Carta, friend of the program and podcast. We've got Amanda Lorenz, Carly Hoover, Danielle Gibson, Wu Pig Sui, Deja Muli Pola, Hannah Flippin, yours truly. I am on the World Cup roster this year, which
Haley
is
McGlenny.
really awesome.
We're so
Yes.
proud.
Janae Jefferson, Jessie Warren, Maya Brady. I wonder if
Woo!
Tom's going to come out to Italy. I don't know. We need
He
to ask that.
should.
Megan Faramo, Mia Davidson,
Love.
Nicole Sister Bates,
Sweet thing.
Rachel Garcia, Savannah Jaquish, and Tiare Jennings. Head coach is Heather Tarr, who I believe we would get to hear from later on in this show, which is super
Yes,
exciting.
ma'am.
And then she's going to be assisted by Jimmy Kalaitis, great dude, Kyle Hollis,
Yeah.
and Tim Walton. So
Woo.
that is your World Cup staff and coach or staff and rostered players. Five Olympians
Yeah.
on that roster, which
Yes,
is
ma'am.
really awesome. So
Yep.
just a really good group, really well-rounded group, and I'm excited to be able to be competing
Why
with
hi.
all those girlies. The elite team roster. So this is the team that will be coached by Kelly Crutchman, also a friend of the program, and they will compete in the Japan All-Star Series out over in Japan. Obviously, that's where the Japan All-Star Series is going to be. So
That would make sense.
that would it does make sense.
Yeah.
So leading off here, and maybe leading off on the
In
actual lineup
Japan.
card, is Aaliyah Andrews,
No
big
fly
time,
zone.
no fly zone. Aaliyah Andrews, Bailey Klingler, Erin Coffle, Jada Coleman, Jocelyn Allo, Jocelyn Erickson, Kayla Kowalik, Kelly Maxwell, Kinsey Hansen, Lexi Kilfoyle, Megan Grant, Nyjah Kennedy, friend of the program,
End of the program.
Skylar Wallace, Taryn Kern, Taylor Pleasance, and Valerie Cagle. Again, head coach is Kelly Crutchman. She is going to be assisted by Elisa Goler, Cody Thompson, and Rachel Lawson. So, really
Outstanding
big
stuff.
summer for the red, white, and blue. A lot of
Yeah.
experience, a lot of new faces, a
Yeah.
lot of young, high-profile college players
Yep.
that are going to get a lot of really good experience this summer. And we're actually going to be training together as an entire Eagle unit, both the elite team and the World Cup team, in Oklahoma City later this June. So,
Oh,
going to be,
exciting. I'm
yeah,
so
it's
happy
going
to
to be
see the
fun.
rosters out. I remember those days where you're like just waiting, 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 and then now you get to look forward to something big. Have you been to Italy since we went in 2014?
No.
Okay, it's
And
time.
how ironic, this will be my 10th year on
Yep.
Team USA,
Going back to where
the
it started.
national team.
Yep.
And it'll be the very first trip I took in 2014 with Team USA was to Italy, and then ultimately playing in the World Championships in Amsterdam. But
That was a
just
good trip.
really, really cool. Like it comes full circle. And if you
Yeah.
would have asked me when I was on that team in 2014, like, oh, how long do you think you're going to be playing with Team USA? It sure as heck would not have been 10 years.
Yeah, see you in
But
2024. That just sounds like you can't even wrap
it's
your brain around
bizarre.
it. Yeah.
In my brain, the world was probably ending before we even got here anyway at that
Reasonably
point. So,
speaking.
like,
Yeah.
it's absolutely wild.
I'm
It's
so excited for you.
insane. But yeah, to your point, like people are always like, oh, like you're in the player pool, like, and they just select players. Like, yes, and we're gonna hear a little bit about that with Coach
Yes.
Tarr. But
Yes.
it's like, what does that feel like as an athlete? And it's the scene from Grey's Anatomy where it's just like, pick me,
Choose
choose
me.
me,
Love
pick
me.
me, let me wear the jersey. You know? It's
Yes.
stressful. It's a
Yes.
stressful process. I mean, you know,
Yes.
you've been through it, and it's cool. It's only gonna get more stressful probably heading until 2028, but
Right, yeah.
it's gonna be a really fun summer. So go Eagles,
Fly
many, many
high.
gold medals. Hopefully are in the future for the red,
Yeah.
white, and blue. So
Just winning. Nothing but winning.
I'm
Oh.
winning.
Well, to transition to what's ahead before we get to our very special interview, we've got some rivalry matchups this weekend. We've got in-state rivalries with in the pack. We've got ASU Arizona and Oregon State Oregon. So I think that's going to be fun. Those are always fun. No matter if it's the best team in the world against the worst team in the world, like the in-state rivalry, nobody comes out like that.
No, yeah, no, and you never know what's going to happen in those matchups. And I think to the point of this past weekend, like you really never know
Who
what's going to
knows?
happen. In
Yeah.
the SEC, we've got some really tough matchups too. You got LSU at Tennessee. LSU dropped the series at our in Baton Rouge against Auburn this past weekend. We
Yeah.
mentioned the upset of Mississippi State run ruling Tennessee. Tennessee did take that series,
They
but I'm
did.
interested to see how LSU bounces back. We didn't even talk about this, but Kelly Lynch threw a no-hitter against Auburn in that Saturday game, the
Oh
only
my
game that they
gosh.
won.
Right.
She was absolutely lights out, still dropped the
Yes.
series. They have to go on the road to bounce back from that
Yeah,
to
to Knoxville.
Knoxville.
Ouch.
And that's what we call tough.
Tough.
Tough. You've also got Missouri and Georgia. Georgia's lost their last three SEC series.
Yeah, surprising. It'll be.
So they really need a turnaround. Missouri's coming off that really big win, series win against Florida too. So I think that's going to be an important one for both of those teams. You also got
Yeah.
Alabama against the Woo Pig Sueys of Arkansas too in
Yeah.
Fayetteville. So at Alabama, I don't want to put this out in the universe. Maybe I should just because like I need to like break up the juju.
Okay.
Alabama's never finished below 500 in SEC play.
Oh, okay. Yeah, we did that. You got to put that
And
up.
we're on the bubble right now, and we need
Get
go
some
we need to
wins.
go up there and make some pulled pork. You know what I'm
I was gonna
saying?
say cook some pig, but I like the pulled pork.
Pulled pork.
Roll
Go pull
Tide.
some pork.
You got to do whatever it takes. Pull out all the stops. But dang. On that note.
On that note.
Stay tuned, you guys. We have a great guest in Heather Tarr. You're going to learn a lot. You're going to have some fun and revisit Sam Fisher's freshman year of college.
At Higginbotham, we put people first. Our specialists are here to serve you, the people you care about, and your success. Insurance, HR, and financial services. Inspired by you.
All right, Banties, do we have a special guest for you? We have the Heather Tarr. Coach Tarr, good morning. How are you?
I am good. I didn't know how to the in front of my name, but I feel so special to have that
Yeah.
said by you all and be here with you. Thanks for having me.
Oh my gosh. Yes. The V is like in our households is in front of your names. So I would love to give a little bio so people know if they don't already, which they should. Who we're
They
talking
definitely
to.
should.
Yeah, let's be real. We have for the 20th season, Washington softball head coach. I mean, first of all, what a tenure. Anyway, winningest coach of any sport in Washington history, all the
Go
sports,
dogs, go
all of them,
dogs.
every sport. This is a huge school, by the way, you guys. They have all the sports. In your tenure, 8 trips to the World Series with a victory, a championship in 2009. And now you're the head coach of none other than Team USA. You're heading to Italy this summer. The teams were just announced. We have so much to talk about. You have such an amazing, coaching resume. My goodness. But how does it feel sitting here thinking? I mean, I'm sure time has flown, but 20 seasons as head coach, like, how does that feel?
Feels overwhelming. When you're younger in the game, you're looking at coaches like, I mean, obviously Coach Wilson, the coach I played for, you felt like they were in the game for so long. And then you look at like Mike Candrea and Hutch at Michigan and the people that, kind of laid the groundwork for all of us. And I'm like, whoa, I'm becoming one of those people by having a 20 in front of my thing. But I don't feel like I'm them, I just feel like myself. And I maybe because working with so many of you all, but also in the collegiate scene, I feel like it doesn't age you. You certainly remember that, like, wow, you've been doing this a long time, but in a weird way, you don't feel like you've been doing it that long.
Yeah, I
That's
imagine.
so cool. I wanted to ask you, Coach Tartu, because you're the staff that you built this year. chock full of alumni, and we get to play with Sis Bates again this summer, which I'm like super pumped about. But talk about the role that they've played at UW this year and just how they've helped the locker room and the vibe.
Yeah, I think they keep me honest in a good way where, you know, I coach them. So some of the things that they'll say are cool because in a way, you know, that they were doing the things that we, when they were student athletes, they're kind of like perpetuating all of that information, but in a better way. And so yeah. Mm-hmm. I think they're doing it our way and how we've done it, but even better. So when I say keep me honest, it's like, oh, they'll bring me back to like, you know, just like Sis will make sure that we're always having fun, and Vic is so compassionate and kind, and sometimes, you know, I'll get like not in like a bad mood, or I'll just get like sharp and like short with one of my answers, and I don't mean to be like rude or mean, but they just kind of bring me back to you know, what it's really all about, and taking care of your people. It's a proud moment to have all of them on staff, Courtney Gatto included.
Yeah.
I think that's an awesome question, Halo, because looking at it, you have almost three generations there of different, different times, different teams. Do you feel like you've seen through them a growth or an adjustment or anything in the way that you've coached and what you've taught to the dogs?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it is. It is a levels of, you know, just kind of like who I've been, I guess, as a coach. Mm-hmm. So we also have Sammy Reynolds, who just graduated.
Right.
Yeah. So you go from Lance Glasso, obviously he's never played for us, but he's been on our staff forever. So, you know, he's kind of vintage like me. And then you've got Victoria, who played right after that national championship group and is associated like through Daniel, Laurie, and Jen on the Canadian national team. So you kind of have that era. And then next you have Courtney Gaino's era. And, you know, I think I was a different coach in each of those eras, not in a bad way, but just sometimes I'm like, oh God, they remember me in this way that I don't know if I want to be remembered. but then I have my saving graces in Sis Bates and Sammy Reynolds. Like, feel like I was maybe better version of myself with them. And we kind of laugh about things that I would say or do, and we would do. And like I said, they kind of keep me honest and keep me humble in a good way.
I love that.
I love that so much. One thing that I've always appreciated about you, Coach Starr, and getting to play with you for the past couple of years is, one, your honesty. You're very clear and very direct with your expectations, but you're also so adaptable, and you do that with such a light and such a joy. Is that, are those qualities something that you had to learn over time and adjust to each team that you've coached, or is that just something that comes naturally to you? Because if it's something you learned, I really would like to learn as well myself.
Send us the book.
Oh my God.
Write the book and send it.
Yeah.
You're so kind and sweet. And I've just loved every opportunity to, you know, become who I am through people like you, and just what an honor that I've been able to be around so many amazing people. I think that in and of itself is, you know, the people that you're around make you. First and foremost, I am a child of Artie and Victor Tarr, my parents. And so I'm probably more of each of them than anything, but I think, you know, through the creator, he allows all of us to be parts of other people that have come into their lives and your lives. So I feel like I'm a part of everybody that I've been a part of. But it starts from my parents. So I would imagine I probably am a lot like my mom, and how she mothered us and how I coach and relate to others, and a little bit like my dad. Probably the directness comes from my dad. But I think also too, just all of the players and coaches I've been able to coach with are part of me, and try to live the best parts of everybody and how I live my life.
You know what's so awesome? I love to hear that from the coach's perspective, because I know as a player, my dad from a young age has always said, you can learn something from anybody. Anybody can teach you something. And that is, to me as a player, like a little bit here, a little bit here. But as a coach, you're learning all the time too. The learning seems to never stop. Do you feel that way about that process?
It's so true. I love how that reminds me, like, that's so important that, you know, you can be, I guess, like, the whole point of living life is to be present and be where your feet are. Mm-hmm. And I think so much of life, we're, you know, especially when you start comparing yourself through so much like social media that's out there and those like stimulants, I guess, distractions. But I think that is such a good lesson. Like, you can learn something from everybody. It's just a lesson about like, be where you are, because you're never going to get these moments back. And I do agree. I feel like I love learning from people. And, you know, like I said, like, I didn't invent anything. I'm just who I am through the people I've been around, and try to be a sponge and not try to be like in a space where you're trying to like be something you're not, and try to be more than you are, or a leader that you think people, you know, think you're supposed to be. Just being who you are in the moment and being the best you are in that moment.
That's beautiful.
Yeah. Well said.
Beautiful. Well, I want to transition a little bit, Coach Tarr, to the national team this year. What are you most excited about with this team specifically? And then part two of that question is, what if you could give like a little synopsis of a vision for where you see USA softball heading towards 2028, just what would it be from your perspective?
Yeah, that's a great question. And thanks for that. I think the group, I see the group as an entirety. So we had the opportunity to keep an elite team or fund an elite team in addition to the women's national team this summer. And I think those opportunities for groups and this group specifically, if you're going to think about this cohort of women, get to go over the next 4 years to try to be a part of that 2028 Olympic team. I think it's so important that the elite team is there with the national team, not only to keep the pool competitive and continue to grow the program in the most competitive way possible so it can be its best self in 2028. But I think, you know, the 16 that did make the national team, you yourself, Miss Veteran, Halo included.
I'm just old.
No, me
that's
too.
That's all I mean.
Me too. It's good to be old and wise. But that group is going to be an exciting group. You know, you've got five women that were part of the 2020 games that brings us so much experience. So that's a third of the team. And then the, you know, the other two thirds, you know, are some veterans who have played on our teams in the last couple of years. And then you've got two new names in there, Danny Gibson and Jesse Warren, who are, they're exciting. And so I think I'm excited just about putting a group of veterans and kind of like that middle piece, and then some new in there, you know, and have that veteran group keep us together in a great way, but then also have the opportunity in Oklahoma City to train before we head out to Italy and allow that elite team to help us get better and us to help them get better and create like a core of us. And there's more out there, you know, it's not just the 32 that got picked on either of the two teams, but there's so much talent in the United States, and creating, I guess my vision would be to create some continuity amongst, you know, 32 to 40 women that have the best chance to be on that team in 2028 and create a system, you know, and see that system over the next 4 years yield some amazing results through the competition that we can create for each other.
Sounds gold to me. Sounds really gold.
Sounds golden.
You know? I would love to hear from you, because, you know, you touched on social media a little bit ago. And when things like this are announced, people be having their opinions and they think, where's she? Why isn't this player here? What's going on? Softball. So I would love for you to give some insight on how these teams are selected, you know, whatever you can tell us so that people can understand a little bit more that it's not just this coach is picking this person. And, you know, I would love some clarity for those who don't understand.
Yeah. It's a really, I would never understand either if I wasn't on the inside. Cause it's really, it's hard to understand how, you know, I mean, even like you're on the outside of a soccer, you're a soccer fan, you're watching the USA soccer pick their teams and you have no clue about the basketball. I was trying to look that up actually earlier today. Like, I wonder who the head coach of the Paris Olympic team is, you know, for US. I don't even know who that is for the women's basketball. So, you know, just being a little bit on the outside, even of softball, I'm sure there's a lot of like mystery to it. But yeah, how it works, every single year you make a team that has a chance to, and I feel like I'm still learning it, but like every year you have a chance to make a team, there's a selection process. And the selection process is generally pretty consistent in how it works. But how the selection process works is you have a pool of athletes that are either selected by a committee to be considered. And then those people that are in the pool get ultimately ranked by 6 committee members. And so you're like, well, who are the committee members? Well, you can, I think, go online and look and see who the committee members are, but they are a part of USA Softball, whether it be a former player, Kat Osterman's one of the committee members, and several others are a part of the committee, including the head coach is 1/6 of the committee. So the first 9 women that make the team are processed through this thing called a forced ranking process. So each of the committee members lists, let's say they're shortstops, and let's say there's 7 shortstops to pick from. And so you rank your top shortstop, your second shortstop, on down to your 6th. And then you do that positionally. So you have a pitcher, a catcher, first, second, third short, and then the outfield. So then once the selection, the selections are like accumulated, the person that gets the most votes is the shortstop for shortstop, the second baseman for second base, and so on and so forth. So then you have 9 people that make the team. Of course, you're not going to go in with 9. So however many more you have on that particular roster. So the Olympic rosters are only 15 and some of the others are 17 or 16. So for this one, we got to pick 16. And so then after those 9 are force ranked, then it's anybody's game. So how many pitchers do you want? How many pitchers do you need? Do you need a lefty? Do you, you know, whatever it is. And then of course you can't just have, you know, 1 catcher. So you need another catcher. And then you start thinking, wait, I'm getting close to 16 or 15. So then you need some versatility. And then, you know, you can't have 3 left fielders because you never can have 3 left fielders, but you know, that some of that's a little bit of dicey. Do you need a backup middle infielder or are you okay? So I'm getting long winded here, but
no, it's good.
This is the point.
Yeah.
Yeah. This is definitely not random, but there is a way. And I have learned a lot by doing this. I was lucky enough to have my first head coaching experience be part of the 19 and under team in 2019. And I learned a lot about the selection process because the force rankings almost put the coach in a spot where you're like, I'm not sure what the other committee members are going to do. And so once, you know, the curtain is open and you're like, oh, this is who the shortstop is, like, oh, that wasn't my pick. Uh-oh. You know, now we have to, you know, figure out like the rest of the team, so to speak. But I think it's a good process. And I know it's, you know, it's really serious when the Olympic process goes, because you have to go through all of the officialness and the legalness of it being, I guess, like by the book, if that makes sense. So coming up in 2028, it will be, you know, for sure by the book, and what the procedures say and how all that works is Chris Sebrin is the guy I go to, director of the national team, for any and all of those things. And of course, all the people that I would look up to, you know, from years past, Ken Erickson, Mike Andrea, other coaches that have been involved. So I've learned a lot through the process, and now it's kind of second nature, but I get it. Like when these rosters come out, it's definitely like, well, why not her? And why not that? And of course, you know, I think with you guys that are still continuing to play, whether it be AU, maybe professionally in Europe, trying to play professionally in the United States, like I think some of us has-beens get forgotten. And in a way, it's like, what's in the common, you know, now you're looking at the current college player. But when you look at the experience that someone like, not to bring you up, Haley, has over you know, just an entering or exiting collegian to the system, there's so much value in that experience. But also too, like, why wouldn't you want, let's say a Jada Coleman, a Maya Brady, those guys to push a Haley McClenney to, you know, to Berlin, but also for a Haley McClenney to like give, give her wisdom and knowledge to those younger ones. So the experience, I believe, is invaluable, that can create that continuity through the three. And I'll say this, Kelly Kretschmann was in the application process to be the head coach of the women's elite team. And I'm so proud of her for wanting to do that and putting herself out there for that, because I think someone like Kelly brings so much continuity beyond what I could even think of having. I wasn't a part of any of these Olympic things. I was never part of a USA team, but for her to be able to speak passionately to the athletes, I think it's a game changer for USA softball moving forward.
Yeah, I was actually going to ask you about Kelly, because what you're saying about the versatility and just the inner squad competition, that's going to be a value of the culture moving forward. I think Kelly brought this up when we spoke to her a couple of weeks ago, just about making you want to compete with everybody that's named, to whether it's the elite team, the national team, whatever it is, year after year after year, and not feeling like just because I did X in college, I am entitled to be on this team. And that's one thing that I have appreciated just being in this organization as long as I have. It's like, I want to be the best that I can possibly be no matter what. I don't expect to get this jersey handed to me. I want to be on the field having earned it and knowing I did everything that I possibly could to get the opportunity to wear that jersey. And I think that's such a cool piece that is just, it's emphasized a lot right now, and I am appreciative of it. But I want to get your opinion on just professional softball as a whole in the United States too, because I think that the more that college softball is expanding, the more eyes that are going to be on it in the Olympics. I think it's important for all of us to have professional opportunities in the States. And I would just love to get your take on the state of pro softball right now.
Man. So here we go. I think the best is to come. And I believe that, and any way I can help this, I want to help this. I've got my own things I'm trying to do in my life. Of course, the purple and the gold and is my pride and joy. And then obviously USA softball, my own life and all those kind of things are important to me. But I know this is important to the growth of our sport and the professionalization and the continued professionalization of the sport in the United States is so ripe. We just don't have the exact right pieces in the right places. So, of course, I'm a huge fan of Athletes Unlimited and how that's continuing to perpetuate opportunities. I'm also keen on what can be done organizationally, whether it be from the bottom up. When I say bottom up, like from the players up, from the youth system up, from the top down. And how do we bridge those opportunities for like financially from the top down, but also the bottom up? And like my wish and my dream is to give, you know, the athlete that wants to play professionally in the US for 2 to 6 years. I'm thinking about Silent Rain Espinoza. You know, I'm not necessarily thinking about a Sam Fisher or a Haley McClenney or a Sis Bates per se. I'm thinking about, you know, the one that might only last in the game for 2 to 6 years. Well, she is in her prime right now and she's trying to find opportunities. So her pride, the USSSA pride, is not a team right now. And so she's trying to endeavor, well, am I going to go with the smoke with, you know, and then like, who else, what is the league? And I'm like, man, the players need to be educated on one, they have all the power. The players have all the power. And I don't think that the pro league can just survive with AU alone. And I love AU. Like I said, like I love our gals that play AU, but one, it's not for everybody. And two, not everybody can play that. Right. So then what is the other, and we're weather dependent sport. So how do we can't leverage like basketball and volleyball can all year round and be like, well, this doesn't fit here. So it's got to go in December. Well, it doesn't ever go in December really in the United States. So how do we figure out how to unify ourselves as a sport, but you all right now that are in your primes and still able to play, to have the people that want to come up have a legitimate experience if they want to play on a team in a legitimate league and not have to necessarily go to Japan? Like the time is now, but for someone like, I go back to Silent Rain, recent graduate at the University of Washington, third baseman, you know, she's like, thinking my biologic biological clock is ticking.
Yeah.
Whatever that means to you, it is. And I'm only going to be able to do this for so long financially. And then two, you know, just as a human, like, what do I want to do next in my world? So I don't know how to intervene in someone's career and be like, okay, you're into your second year pro. Don't play right now. Don't play until the experience and you all can get the experiences financially funded in the ways that are right, but also professional. And I mean, professional, like you're traveling by a charter bus or, you know, you have a locker room, you have these kinds of things. So like from all of that to up here, like a salary, like how do we get it to where it needs to be? And I, again, like I said, I have other fish to fry in my life, but and I have a lot of like thoughts in my head about how it could go, and bless the people that have supported the pro leagues and, you know, John and Jonathan with AU, but there's more investors out there and it can, we can continue to grow what we have, and we have to. And I think the time is now. I mean, there's like a finite opportunity right now to create an infinite like grand scheme for softball.
Yes. Heck yes. Well, let's go. I love getting your take on that too, because I think, and I don't want to speak for you, Sam, but one of the reasons I think Sam and I both continue to play is that the next generation behind us can be like, I'm a professional softball player and that's my full-time job.
Period.
Like I make enough money. I can afford to go hit at these facilities. I can afford like a private strength coach to pay, and I can afford all of these different resources to continue to fund me playing long-term and making a salary. And I also think too, it's important for us heading towards 2028, hopefully towards 2032, to have a domestic option to your point of the competition factor of just making our USA athletes the best that they can possibly be. Because college softball, it's not close. You're getting better every single time you step on the field because you have no other choice. And you know what I mean? Like, how can we translate that to the pro leagues and make everyone better for longer so we can win more gold medals?
Yeah. Yeah. That's and I think about when I went into the MPF and there weren't, I didn't have a teammate that was over 30. And now I'm sitting here at 33 and I have lots of teammates who are over 30. And I think that in just my span of professional time, it has grown. And the part I think that is hard is knowing that what we're doing now, we won't see the fruits of. We're doing it to do it. And like at the end of the day, I'm pumped about what we're doing, but I still want to win. I want to win. I want to compete. And then because of these things, then the next generation will be able to maybe just say, yeah, no, I play pro softball, period. Like I could buy a house.
Like, crazy.
Yeah. Imagine. So all this really fires me up.
Yeah. We could probably talk 4 hours about minimum. This, but yeah. We are, I do believe we are headed in the right direction. I really do.
Yes. And I appreciate too, Coach Tar, that you did mention the has-beens, the people with the experience, the veterans, because things have changed a lot in the time between when I graduated to now, and even from when Halo, and then even these younger kids, things change, but the sport is the sport. And you don't know. I remember thinking this when I was a senior at LMU, you don't know what experience is until you have experience, and you can't put a finger on it. You can't describe it. And then you get to a point where now you are in this position with like Halo, being able to take somebody under her wing and explain what it means to wear these colors, what it means to be an Eagle, you know? And I really appreciate you saying that, about just all the levels and all the different types of players that we see in our sport.
Yeah. Awesome.
Yeah. You just even think about the opportunities that these women, the small opportunities that these women have to perpetuate their game. Mm-hmm. And I feel like for the last Olympic group, you know, it's kind of few and far between. You know, you choose to go to Japan and you expose yourself to the Japanese system in a way where that could be positive, it could be negative. But I know, like, I'm going to think about like a Carly Hoover and an Ali Carter, for example, the opportunities that they've made for themselves and continue to commit to playing over there in Japan. I mean, that's a life commitment. Half the year, 12 months, three in the front of the summer, and you have a summer free to do, you know, USA stuff or whatever. And then the backside of the summer, I mean, that's your life. And they committing to those opportunities to really sharpen themselves as softball players. I mean, that says a lot. I highly respect that. And, you know, I wish, like, you know, Haley, you're saying is that there were, you know, more of a domestic opportunity to, to do that here. But I definitely tip my cap to those women who really grind that out there. Because it is hard to do it here if you don't do that.
That's
true. Well, Halo always has a good wrap-up question. Before, I know we've been talking about some serious, you know, legit stuff, but I got to bring up a question before Halo asks her wrap-up question. In 2009, I was a mere freshman, and we opened the season in St. George, Utah, where we played none other than the University of Washington. And I don't know if you remember me. I struck out three times against Daniel Lurie. And we lost. It was a close game, surprisingly, for LMU. But I will never, ever – that was my fifth game in college. And I remember, okay, this is the show. This is Danielle. She is gassy. I foul-tipped a few balls in my third at-bat and was stoked. So I just had to throw that out there, that my experience with you on the field, I was like, hey, we played the Natty Champs, whatever.
I was hoping you were going to tell this story.
I do remember that. It was a close game. It was like 2-2. I don't know.
It was 4-2. Close. You guys pulled it out. 4-2.
It was a nail biter, though.
The rest of the year, we're like, hey, Washington won. Good. We helped them get there.
You did.
My three strikeouts were very pivotal in our two-run score, but.
Yeah, how anyway. They do it without you? Come on.
Yeah, right. Yeah, seriously. Oh, yeah, man. What are you going to do? And then I learned a lot. I learned a lot as a freshman. My very first tournament playing literally Washington, the future Natty Champs. And that was, I remember just what a way to start off your collegiate career.
And now you're a Hall of Famer. So
now, yeah, what the heck?
Greatly due to that game. They're like, she struck out with intent those three at bats. She worked so hard.
She laid the foundation.
She swung every time. All right, Halo, the floor is yours.
All right, Coach Star, we like to do this every guest that we have on. If you could give any advice to your younger self, younger coaches, parents, anybody in the softball world, what would it be and why?
That's a very deep question, but the advice I would give is softball is not everything. And you have to, yes, you do have to obsess over it and love it and commit yourself to it, but just be careful that you don't make it everything you do. Make sure you have hobbies, or, you know, it becomes too much of your life. And before you know it, you forgot that you do, you know, have to have a balanced life. So I would highly recommend keeping it real and making sure you have a life.
Oh, keep it real.
Keep it real.
I love that. Coach Star, thank you so much for hanging out with us.
I love you guys. You guys are awesome. Thanks for doing this. Thanks for making such a great thing for all of us to follow. And I'm proud to be a guest.
Oh, thank you so much. We love you.
Go Dogs and go Eagles.
That's right. Go USA.
Always.
Go Dogs.
Team USA has brought me opportunities that I never thought I would have before, and I'm super humbled to be able to represent my country.
There's so much talent in the United States playing softball right now, and we want to see the game continue to grow and prosper and develop.
I want to develop not just men, but women's softball as well.
I want to see more girls like me playing this sport.
I just hope one day that I can be somewhat mentioned, like a Natasha Watley, to help this game.
I just remember, like, watching everyone, like, in the Olympics, like, and you guys just representing this country. And for me playing USA softball, like, I just want to do the same.
Team USA has brought me opportunities that I never thought I would have before, and I'm super humbled to be able to represent my country.
There's so much talent in the United States playing softball right now, and we want to see the game continue to grow and prosper and develop.
I want to develop not just men, but women's softball as well.
I want to see more girls like me playing this sport.
I just hope one day that I can be somewhat mentioned, like a Natasha Watley, to help this game.
I just remember like watching everyone like in the Olympics, like, and you guys just representing this country. And for me playing USA softball, like I just want to do the same.